Well, amen. Praise the Lord for the special music once again. It's always a blessing as we assemble ourselves together and sense the presence of God in this place. If you have your Bibles with you, if you look with me to the book of Revelation, chapter 6. Revelation, chapter 6. On Sunday nights, it's been a couple of years now, we started in the book of Genesis. We worked through the entire Bible and teaching one lesson on each book of the Bible, giving you a basic outline and an understanding of what that book is there for. And then we got into the book of Revelation, and we have been breaking it down and teaching the book of Revelation. And I trust it's been a help and a blessing to you. I know the outline of the book of Revelation is right there in chapter 1 and verse 19, when John is to write the things which thou hast seen, with the things which are, and the things which shall be hereafter. And chapter 1 was the thing that he had seen. Chapters 2 and 3 were the church age, the things that are. And that's where we're at right now in this church age. And I believe you can break it down into seven different time segments. We've done that. We've looked back over. We have history on our side now. We can look back over the history and see where the messages we're giving for the different dispensations of time of the church age, and we've seen that broken down. There's no doubt we're living in the final dispensation of the church age, which would be the Laodicean church age, and we studied that, and we realize that's where we're at today as far as the church age is concerned. Still don't know just how long we'll be in this Laodicean age, but we do know what will end this church age will be the rapture of the church, and that's where chapter 4 begins. It begins with John being called up, and there's a door open to heaven, which will take place when Christ returns for the church. Not returns to the earth, but when he returns for the church, the rapture of the church, there will be a door in heaven open. And for every believer, everyone that's put their faith and trust in Jesus Christ, in the twinkling of an eye, I mean, the door will be open. That will be our focal point. We'll focus on that. What a blessing that will be. And everything else will just fade away. It'll just fade away. Well, and then we find some things. The first thing we taught that John's given to us there in chapter 4 was the throne of God, the throne of the Lord. And it reveals some things that will take place in heaven and for the church. And then we've been studying chapters 5 and 6 concerning what will take place after that, and that is the judgment, what's going to take place on this earth. Now, there's several judgments that are represented in the book of Revelation, but that's what we're in right now, is this judgment period, starting with chapter 4 all the way through chapter 19. The one thing that we know for sure is that it's going to all take place within 7 years. There's a 7-year tribulation period on this earth, and that's the tribulation, the judgment. And then, of course, Christ will return, and he's going to set up that millennial reign here on this earth, but there's going to be 7 years, and so the judgment, there's seven seal judgments that leads into seven trumpet judgments that lead into seven vial or bowl judgments. All of these represent the judgment, which they all are within this 7-year period. Now, there's different beliefs, interpretations of how that's going to come about. There's some that might look at that and look at 21 different judgments, break the 7 years down to 21. Others believe that it's just a 7-year, and each one reveals certain segments of that judgment. And I'm not going to argue either way. Some good men differ on some of these things, and that's fine. The good men believe this one thing. The Bible has been recorded exactly the way that God wanted it to be recorded. Praise the Lord for that. And we all believe that if the Bible is the inerrant Word of God, then we must look to the Bible. Bible interprets Bible. And so it's very important that we believe that we have God's Word, every word that God has preserved for us. And we believe that. We have this. And this, for the English-speaking people, this King James Bible has withstood the test of time, especially since 1776 in this United States of America. And so, but how we break it down, I'm going to present to you what I believe is there in the interpretation. If you might have a little bit different belief and or maybe a different interpretation of certain things that really don't matter, I don't want to hear about it. Amen. Because I'm telling you what the Bible says. We have to agree on that. Amen. You got the same Bible. It says the same thing to you, saying to me. Praise the Lord for that. That's what we agree upon. If you have a little bit different take on the interpretation of it, that's fine. That's not going to change your salvation. Not going to change my salvation. Good men, what I'm saying is good men differ on some of the interpretation. And it was presented to us that way for the different dispensations of the church age. Because it meant something possibly different, even though the very same word, but they were going through different things during the dispensations of the church. It's been almost 2,000, it has been 2,000 years since the church age began. And there has been a lot of different things taking place in the 2,000 years. So God has written it down for us, the very same for the early church as He has for this 21st century church. Praise the Lord for that. And they're the reason that He did it the way He did it. But it is God's Word. And there are judgments. There's 7 years. But all of these judgments are within a seven-year time period. And we're going to see that. It does break it down. It does tell us that. It's broken down into 3.5 years and 3.5 years. And we're going to see some of that later on. But right now we're looking at the judgments. And it gives us a glimpse on what will happen on earth after the rapture. Now, sometimes we look at this, and even as last Sunday night, I said it's almost like a doom and gloom. Well, don't take it that way, because you're not going to be here. if you look at it and see it's a doom and gloom, hopefully it'll warn you enough, and you'll have enough fear about having to go through the tribulation to make a decision for Christ so that you don't have to go through the tribulation period. If you're saved here tonight, you'll not experience the tribulation period. You'll be raptured up with the church. And what a blessing that is. And I believe that we have it given to us so that we might look into the future to know what's going to take place and realize, I don't want to go through that. And you don't have to. Just like understanding the reality of a place of hell. Jesus taught more on the reality of hell than He taught on the reality of heaven. And the purpose was one main thought. You don't want to go there. And you don't have to. He paid your sin debt so that you wouldn't have to go there. And by grace through faith, all you have to do is, because God loved you enough to send His only begotten Son, and all you have to do is have enough faith to believe it and receive Christ, and you don't have to go to hell. You don't have to go to a place that He warns us of. Praise the Lord for that. And so we don't have to experience this tribulation, but it is here for us to understand and realize there will be a seven-year tribulation period on this planet Earth. So stand with me tonight. We're going to be looking here. We studied the first four seal judgments in chapter 6. Tonight we're going to be looking at verse 9 through 17, and we'll be studying the last two, or the fifth and the sixth. The seventh actually leads into the seven trumpet judgments, which will be taken back up in chapter 8. But chapter 6, now we're looking at the fifth and the sixth seal, or the judgment. Let's look here, verse 9. And when He opened the fifth seal, I saw under the altar the souls of them that were slain for the word of God and for the testimony which they held. And they cried with a loud voice, saying, How long, O Lord, holy and true, dost Thou not judge and avenge our blood on them that dwell on the earth? And white robes were given unto every one of them, and it was said unto them that they should rest yet for a little season, until their fellow servants also and their brethren that should be killed, as they were, should be fulfilled. And I beheld, and when He had opened the sixth seal, and lo, there was a great earthquake, and the sun became black as sackcloth of hair, and the moon became as blood, and the stars of heaven fell unto the earth, even as a fig tree casteth her untimely figs when she is shaken of a mighty wind. And the heaven departed as a scroll when it rolled together, and every mountain and island were moved out of their places. And the kings of the earth, and the great men and rich men, and the chief captains and the mighty men, and every bondman and every free man, hid themselves in the dens and in the rocks of the mountains. and said to the mountains and rocks, fall on us, and hide us from the face of him that sitteth on the throne, and from the wrath of the Lamb. For the great day of his wrath is come, and who shall be able to stand? And let's pray. Our Heavenly Father, as we bow before you tonight, we thank you for the opportunities you make available to us just to be in church and, Lord, just to sense your presence and to study your word and receive what you have for us. I pray tonight, God, that you would continue to meet with us in a very special way. I pray that you'd work through the preaching of thy word at this time. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Amen. So all the judgments, the seven seals that lead into the seven trumpets, that lead into the seven vials, again, they represent a seven-year period. What we're looking at here, I believe, in these seven sealed judgments is a glimpse on what will take place during the seven-year tribulation period. The fifth seal is a scene from heaven. Now, the sixth seal is going to be a scene from earth. It's almost like sitting back and John is watching a video of what is going to take place. And they go to the fifth scene of breaking it down, the fifth seal judgment. And to understand this, he shows them a scene in heaven. And so a scene in heaven is what we see in verse 9 through 11. We say, and when he had opened the fifth seal, I saw under the altar the souls of them that were slain under the altar of God in heaven. Souls that were slain for the word of God and for the testimony which they held. So they were martyred because of their belief in the word of God, their belief in Jesus Christ. And they held on to their testimony. They possibly were presented with either you deny your faith or be executed. Now, you're going to have some very strong faith to do that. To say, no, I'm never going to deny my faith, you can take my life. That's what's going to happen in the tribulation period. Those that get saved during the tribulation period, and there will be some of those that get saved that had not the opportunity before, and we're going to see some of that in just a minute here. But those that get saved are going to be persecuted, even greater persecution than what you would have to experience here today. And it will come down to that place that they will look to kill, take the life of those that would not deny their faith in Jesus Christ. They would not turn away from their testimony and how that they believed that God would have them to live. And they would be martyred for the cause of Christ. So those who had been saved that were killed for their faith, I believe this is talking about those that had been saved during the first four judgments, seal judgments, during the first of the tribulation period. It could mean all of those, not only then, but those that had been raptured up earlier, but those that had died for their faith in Jesus Christ. It could be, that's up to you to understand, to believe that or not, but we know that it was those that had been killed for their testimony and their faith in Jesus Christ. And they're standing at the altar. Now, this is a scene from heaven. What a blessing it is to know that they're in heaven. I don't know if you realize that or not, but in 2 Corinthians in chapter 5, it says, when this tabernacle is dissolved, we have a body not made with hands, eternal in the heavens. That very same chapter, we find that Paul writes to the church at Corinth, and he says, to be absent from the body is to be present with the Lord. And so even though they were martyred for their faith and would not turn away from their testimony of Christ, they realized, I have something much more important to live for. And I'll not deny my Savior who gives me everlasting eternal life. I'm not going to fear what you can do to me. Amen. Jesus taught his disciples, don't fear what man can do to you. Better fear God. To be absent from the body is to be present with the Lord. And this is evidenced there in the book of Revelation when it comes to those that had died. They didn't have to wait till the end to be raptured up. They didn't have to wait till all was over. As soon as they died, as soon as their physical body died on this present earth, then the spirit was released and the spirit goes immediately to be in the presence of an almighty God. That's a tremendous comfort. The only comfort that we have, and I tell people this at funerals all the time, the only comfort we have in death is life. If you know that your loved one was saved and they're no longer here, you know where they're at. And you can be comforted to know that they're not in that casket and they're not in that grave, but they're in the presence of God. Hallelujah. Many times when we truly believe that, even though it would be very selfish for us to desire them to come back and to live in that old frail body, to live in that body that was riddled with pain and suffering. No one wants to lose a loved one. But when you can stop and think about where they're at, how selfish would it be for us to want to keep them with us? Amen? No, just praise the Lord. It's all right to have our loved ones die as long as we know that they're going to be with the Lord and they're going to experience life like never before. The idea there is to let them go on to heaven and be looking forward to that day when I'll join them and get out of this pain and suffering myself. Until that day comes, I want to give all that I can to serving the Lord. I want to be able to accomplish everything that God would have me to accomplish because this is the only opportunity we'll have to store up riches in heaven. It's done by our work and our testimony and our accomplishments here on this earth. Praise the Lord for that. So even here we find that as they would die, even during the tribulation period, when they would die for those that would have put their faith and trust in Jesus Christ, they go immediately to be in the presence of God. And John views them there during this tribulation period, during this fifth seal. Now, look with me, if you will, in 2 Thessalonians, because who can be saved during this tribulation period? In 2 Thessalonians, it gives us some insight into what's taken place there. In 2 Thessalonians, in chapter 2, now they had, let's go ahead and read, start in verse 1. Paul writes because they were confused as far as what was going to take place and that had the tribulation already taken place. And so Paul writes and he says, "Now we beseech you, brethren, by the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ and by our gathering together unto Him, that you be not soon shaken in mind or troubled, neither by spirit nor by word nor by letter as from us, as that day of Christ is at hand. Let no man deceive you." He tells you some things that's going to take place before that day would come. "For that day shall not come except there be a falling away first, and that man of sin be revealed, the son of perdition." There's going to be great apostasy. We are seeing that develop even today, even in this Christian nation, a falling away from the doctrines of Christ, an apostasy. "Who opposeth, then this man of sin is going to be revealed, who opposeth and exalteth himself above all that is called God," or that is worship, "so that he as God sitteth in the temple of God, showing himself that he is God." In the tribulation period, the Antichrist, and there's going to be someone that the world would look to that's going to claim to bring in peace. It's going to be placed on the throne, and he is going to be looked at as being God. "Remember ye not that when I was yet with you, I told you these things. And now you know that what withholdeth that he might be revealed in his time." What's keeping that from happening? "For the mystery of iniquity doth already work, only he who now letteth will let until he be taken out of the way." That he there is the Holy Spirit of God, who represents Jesus Christ, who comes to convict the hearts of mankind, who reveals to mankind that Jesus is the Son of God, who is in this place tonight. And he is the one that's speaking to you that's saying what that preacher is preaching is true. That's the Holy Spirit of God that bears witness, his spirit bearing witness with your spirit, revealing to you that the things of God are true. The things of God are real. If you've ever been saved, you've come under the conviction of the Holy Spirit of God. And you have accepted what the Holy Spirit of God reveals to you as being truth, the gospel of Jesus Christ. It's the Holy Spirit of God, God, who is the one that limits Satan in this present church age. But in order for the man of sin and for the Antichrist to populate the earth and all the things that will take place during the tribulation period, the Holy Spirit is going to be taken out of the way. The Holy Spirit will be taken out as the church is raptured out. During the rapture, the church will be raptured and the Holy Spirit will be taken out of the way, which will allow Satan to become as God in this world and set himself up. I believe in the throne there in Jerusalem, in the temple, as which the Bible teaches that. And then he goes on to say, he'd be taken out of the way, and then shall that wicked be revealed, whom the Lord shall consume with the spirit of his mouth, and shall destroy with the bright. Jesus is going to destroy that later on after the tribulation. Even him whose coming is after the working of Satan with all power and signs and lying wonders. During this tribulation time, there's going to be more lying wonders and powers and signs committed by this man of sin. And with all deceivableness of unrighteousness in them that perish, because they received not the love of the truth that they might be saved. You didn't receive the love of the truth, and you didn't receive the conviction of the Holy Spirit. You rejected the Holy Spirit. You rejected that. If you rejected the Holy Spirit in this church age, you will not be able to be saved during the tribulation period. But those that had never come under the conviction of the Holy Spirit, had not rejected the Holy Spirit, will be able to be saved. That's according to the scripture right here. And with all deceivableness of unrighteousness in them that perish, because they received not the love of the truth that they might be saved, didn't do it during this church age. And for this cause, God shall send them strong delusions that they should believe a lie. Whatever that lie will be, that it will be believed. That they all might be damned who believe not the truth, when you had opportunity to believe the truth, but had pleasure in unrighteousness. You didn't turn to God and you didn't turn to salvation because you wanted to live your life and you wanted to live the way you wanted to live and you wanted to experience the pleasures of this life and you rejected the Holy Spirit of God. No, that person's not going to get saved during the tribulation period. But there will be those that will believe the witness of Christ. There will be a witness of Christ, and we'll see that later on. And there will be those get saved, but after they get saved, they'll be confronted by the Antichrist. And they'll have to either deny their faith or they'll lose their lives. Well, those are the ones we see in this scene from heaven, standing at the altar. Now go back with me to the book of Revelation, chapter 6, and verse 10. They cry out for God's vengeance, knowing the evil that exists. We, as believers, look around, we view the evil of this church age. And we cry out, I know I do from time to time, how long? How much further? How much more sinful does this world have to become before the rapture? And he cried out with a loud voice, saying, how long, O Lord? Holy and true. He understands the holiness of God. And he understands the filthiness of this world. Dost thou not judge and avenge our blood on them that dwell on the earth? How long? Someone else, one of the prophets, as you well know in the book of Habakkuk. In the book of Habakkuk, we find here that Habakkuk, the prophet, saw the very same things. And he wondered, he said, is God going to judge? Now, this is way back in the Old Testament. The world in his eyes, Israel, was turning away from the law and turning away from God. And so much sin was in the world. And Habakkuk cries out this message, this prophet Habakkuk. In Habakkuk chapter 1 and verse 1, it says, the burden which Habakkuk the prophet did see. O Lord, how long shall I cry, and thou wilt not hear? Even cry out unto thee of violence, and thou wilt not save. Why dost thou show me iniquity, and cause me to behold grievance? For spoiling and violence are before me, and there are that raise up strife and contention. Therefore the law is slack. Doesn't look like that you're going to live up to the law and the judgment of the law. And judgment doth never go forth. For the wicked doth compass about the righteous. Therefore, wrong judgment proceedeth. God allowed Habakkuk. And God's recorded this for us to understand what Habakkuk was going through. But what I like is what God's answer to Habakkuk. In verse 5, he says, "Behold." He tells Habakkuk, he says, "Behold ye among the heathen, and regard, and wonder marvelously. For I will work a work in your days, which ye will not believe, though it be told you." And then he goes on and tells him something, but he says, "Calm down, Habakkuk. It's coming. I understand where you're coming from. I understand that you don't say it doesn't look like it's going to happen. It's been some 2,000 years and hadn't happened yet. We're in this 21st century. It hadn't happened yet." Just as God told Habakkuk, he's telling us today, just hold your pants on, amen? It's coming. And it's going to be something like this world's never seen before. And it is. The tribulation period is going to be unlike anything this world's ever experienced before. And we're going to see some of this. But that's what's going on. He shows us a scene in heaven. And the scene in heaven is those that were martyred, that were crucified, some, and beheaded. And they lost their lives, basically, for their belief in Jesus Christ and the testimony of Christ. And they lost their lives. And now they're around the throne and wondering just, when is it going to take place? Go back with me there. Because as they cried out, they're comforted. "And white robes were given unto every one of them. And it was said unto them that they should rest yet a little season." Now, I love that. What he gave those was white robes. White robes represents purity and righteousness. They accomplished their service. And they're in the presence of God. And he said, "Now hold on. There's some other things that have to take place. And so you be comforted with your accomplishments and what I have given to you." White robes. Now, I don't know exactly what those white robes are going to be. It's going to be something like a white robe. I've never been a bride, but I think it's going to make you feel something like what that bride feels when she has on her wedding dress and she knows that that represents purity, and she sits there next to her dad and they open the doors and she sees her groom in front of her and she's walking down that white trail. I've never experienced that. Amen? But many of you ladies have. Can I tell you, that's an experience that you look forward to. And that's an experience you look back to. It made you feel possibly like something you've never felt before. He gives us a white robe, all those. He said, "You've done your part. Be comforted. And just wait, because I've got a plan, and it's working." The white robe. Now, every man here that's going to be there, it's going to experience somewhat you have experienced on a much greater level. Amen? But there is just a little glimpse of that. I think it'll be something like that. And he informs them that there would be others killed. Not the only ones. There's going to be others that's going to follow. Be ready to welcome them. Be ready to receive them. They're coming. But he says they should rest for a little season until their fellow servants also and their brethren that should be killed as they were should be fulfilled. Which gives us an awareness that those who are in heaven are very much aware of those that are on their way. looking forward to that day as much as we are looking forward to that day when there's going to be a spiritual reunion. Amen. I'm just reading what's there. It's right there. It's helping us to understand the things that shall come afterwards, that shall be hereafter. And in this judgment on this earth, we find that the very first thing that He reveals to us is a scene in heaven. Given white robes. Then right after that, we find the sixth seal is open. The sixth seal is an earthly scene. The next video clip that John sees is one of this earth. And I beheld when he had opened the sixth seal, and lo, there was a great earthquake. Now he's focused. This is what's going on in heaven. This is what's focused on going on earth. And during this time of this tribulation, there's going to be a great earthquake. Seismologists claim, they study earthquakes of the earth. They claim that there's 1 million earthquakes annually on this planet Earth. They say that 100,000 can be felt annually. And of those 100,000 that can be felt, only 1,000 actually do damage on a yearly basis. Christ predicts great earthquakes as a sign. Luke in chapter 21, and Jesus presents to His disciples some things, signs of the time, what's going to take place. They were curious about how would they know and all the things that were taking place there. And Luke in chapter 21, He presents some things to them that's a help to us to also to know the signs of the time. Luke 21 and verse 10. In verse 8 it says, "And he said, Take heed that ye be not deceived, for many shall come in my name, saying, I am Christ, and the time draweth near. Go ye not therefore after them." Now there have been some false Christs that have claimed that the end of the world is coming. And a lot of things have taken place, and we have that, and it just causes man to mock Christianity and to mock the fact that there is going to come a rapture. He says, don't pay any attention to them. "But when you shall hear of wars and commotions, be not terrified, for these things must first come to pass, but the end is not by and by. Then said he unto them, Nation shall rise against nation, and kingdom against kingdom, and great earthquakes shall be in diverse places, and famines, and pestilences, and fearful sights, and great signs shall there be from heaven." Just a few things that He is revealing to them during this time. These are some of the signs of that time. There's going to be great earthquakes. There's going to be pestilence and fearful sights, and great signs shall be from heaven. Signs from heavens, looking into the heavens. Now with that in mind, go back to Revelation in chapter 6, because He reveals some of those things. The first thing is great earthquakes. And then after the great earthquakes, He goes on and says, "And the sun became black as sackcloth of hair, and the moon became as blood." We'll not turn there for sake of time, but Isaiah chapter 13, He reveals some of the very same prophecies that would take place, and the sunlight will be blacked out. And so we find here that during this time, the sun will be blacked out during the daytime. And with that blacking out of the sun, it's going to lower the light, and it's going to lower the heat. It'll be different, a different atmosphere on this planet Earth than what we've ever experienced before. And at night, when the moon comes out, it will not have the light of the sun, as we can look up into the moon in the night and have the light of the moon shining. That will be turned into red. Talk about an eerie sight. The people of the earth at that time, during the day, the sun is going to be blackened out. Could it be there's going to be so much nuclear explosions that's going to develop so many different things? I don't know exactly what's going to cause it. The Bible doesn't say the Bible says that the sun will be blackened out as silk. And the moon during that time is going to be not white, it'll be red. Just an eerie, eerie feeling. I don't know about you, but I find peace in sunshine. I heard tell some time ago, I guess, in New York, it had been so cloudy and so rainy, and this one employer, all of his employees were depressed because they hadn't seen the sun. He rented out a jet, put all of his employees on the jet, and took them and flew above the clouds just to show them that there's still a sun. Turned around, landed the plane. So that did more for the morale of his company than anything he'd ever done. Just seeing the sun shine, there's a blessing there. Seems like that every sickness and every baby that comes in the middle of the night. Why? I don't know. Things are always bleak in the evening, in the dark. Something about when the sun comes up. It's a blessing. They won't experience that. The sun comes up and they just see a black silk. And then they're not even going to see the moon, the light of the moon. I enjoy looking up into the moon at night. And it's going to be red. What an eerie feeling. It's what's going to take place. The sun blacked out, the moon turned red. Verse 13 it says, "And the heavens departed as a scroll when it is rolled together, and every mountain and island were moved out of their places." Mountains and islands moved out of their place. That's verse 14. The mountains and islands will collapse, and possibly due to the great earthquakes. When that happens, the sea level is going to raise. There's going to be tsunamis all over the world. Chaos. Verse 13, it says, "And the stars of heaven fell into the earth, even as a fig tree casteth her untimely figs when she is shaken of a mighty wind." Some of the things, possibly during that time, with they're going to see the stars. I think it could be possibly the meteorites penetrate Earth's atmosphere. I think some of these things are going to take place. People are going to think the sky is falling. And because they're going to hear these explosions in the night. It could just be the sound of the meteorites coming through the atmosphere. I believe that God has protected the earth. God's hand is the atmosphere that protects the earth. He's established the earth and the protection of the earth. During this time, His hand's going to be taken off. There's going to be more of these types of things taking place, which is going to add to the fear. It's going to add to the chaos. Verse 15 and 17, as we close, it reveals what the people of the earth are going to do. Church will not be here. And the kings of the earth who had set themselves up, turned their backs on God, denied that He exists. The great men, the rich men, lived for riches and wealth and positions. The chief captains and the mighty men and every bondman and every free man, all those that were remaining on the earth, hid themselves in the dens and the rocks of the mountains, and said to the mountains and rocks, "Fall on us and hide us from the face of Him that sitteth on the throne, the wrath of the Lamb. For that great day of His wrath is come. Who shall be able to stand?" All the unbelievers of the earth will try to run and hide from God. You can't run and hide from God. And yet we find that many, even today, instead of bowing down to the Lamb of God, instead of acknowledging the fact that God exists, realizing that we're lost in need of a Savior, instead of looking to Jesus Christ the Lamb as a Savior, try to run and hide. Block Him out as if He didn't exist. There was no such thing as a virgin-born Son of God. There's no such thing as a resurrection. Try to just block Him out and carry on with their own agendas. Not going to be able to run. Not going to be able to hide. After this, we'll find the seventh seal is going to pick up in chapter 8. And it will usher in the seven trumpet judgments. But with this here tonight, we've been given the revelation to help us to look to God while we still have time. To first of all, get saved if you're not saved. Don't deny Christ and don't try to riot, run, and hide. Receive Him. And if you have received Him, reach others. Help others to know what they must do in order to escape, keep from having to go through this tribulation period, if that was to take place even tonight. 2 Corinthians chapter 6 and verse 2 says this, "Now is the accepted time. Behold, now is the day of salvation." Don't put it off any longer. Lost person, get saved tonight. Saved person, realize the warnings and warn other people so that we can do what the Bible says a person must do to know that they can escape not only a place of hell, but they don't have to go through a time of tribulation. If I could have every head bowed and every eye closed. The book of Revelation reveals to us in these chapter 4 to chapter 19 the things that shall be hereafter. The Bible gives us a glimpse of what's going to take place on this planet. It's going to happen. We can see it. He's given it to us today so that we can avoid going through that tribulation. He's given us a plan of salvation today so that you can make sure that you know Jesus as your personal Savior. Do you know that tonight? An invitation time is an opportunity to respond to whatever God has spoken to you about. God spoke to you about your need to be saved. Let me encourage you to come to this altar, let somebody take a Bible, and show you what the Bible says a person must do to be saved. As a saved individual, if God's convicted your heart about serving Him and warning others and trying to be an example of Christ, maybe you need to come and just commit yourself to being more Christ-like. Whatever it might be, God speaking, make sure that you just answer the call. Father, we love You. Thank You for the truth of Your Word. Thank You for this insight into the book of Revelation and what is going to be hereafter. I pray that we'd learn from this and be able to apply this knowledge in helping us to live as You would have us to live today. Work in our midst and bless in this invitation. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.